Please stand by, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, I'll be reading verses 1 to 15. Now, remember, Scott, we just stand this word today. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Afterward, he was traveling from one town and village to another, preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, called Magdalene, 17. Joanna, the wife of Joseph, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who were supporting them for their possessions. As a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock. When it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground. When it grew up, it produced fruit. 100 times for a sower. And he said this. He called out, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Then his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? So he said, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but to the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see, and hearing may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe to be saved. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worry, riches, pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed is a good ground. These are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit. We just looked at a situation where Jesus was invited to a feast at a Pharisee's house. And remember I gave you the picture in your bulletin that showed you what it looked like when they were reclining at the table. They laid with their heads toward the table on the couch, and then their feet stretched out behind them. And while they were there, a woman came in, washed Jesus' feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, and then kissed his feet and anointed his feet with perfume. The Pharisee who had invited them thought in his heart, if this man, meaning Jesus, really was a prophet, he would know who this woman was, and she is a sinner. Jesus said to the Pharisee, can I ask you a question? And the Pharisee mocked, gave false attention to Jesus, said, yes, teacher. A term that he really didn't mean. He didn't view Jesus as the one to teach him anything. He thought he'd do everything, and he thought he'd be better than Jesus. He says, there was this man, and someone owed him 500 days' wages, and another person owed him 50 days' wages. They had borrowed money from him, they had a debt, and the person that they had the debt to forgave them. Which one, Pharisee, do you think would love the one that forgave the debt more. Now, and the Pharisee said, well, the one who had the greater debt forgiven. He said, you answered right. And then, looking at the woman, he spoke to the Pharisee, said, this woman, she has never stopped washing her feet for tears. But you, as a good host, should have at least given me water to wash the feet. Because I wear sandals like everybody else, the roads are dusty. And a proper host will give something or even have someone away to wash the feet. But you didn't do anything. A proper host will also greet the guest with a kiss on the cheek. You didn't do that, Pharisee. But this woman has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't give me a little oil for my head, which a good host would do. But this woman has been drinking my feet with perfume. Her sins were forgiven, and she shall show her gratitude by the way she showed her love. And then he turned to the woman and said, your faith has saved you. Following this event, Jesus went out to many other villages and towns, and then there was a group of women who were doing what was not natural or not what was socially acceptable at the time. They were following Jesus and the disciples and providing for their needs, giving food and supplies. These women showed the type of faith that the woman who had anointed Jesus feet showed. They didn't care what the public thought because they knew who Jesus was and what he had done. And then Jesus gives a parable. Said, a man went out to sow his seed. Now, at that time, a common way to plant was you take and broadcast, throw the seed out by hand over the soil, and then the prepared soil, and it would grow up. So some of the seed fell along the path. Some fell on stony ground. They can't do it. Some fell among thorns. And some fell in good soil. That fell along the path, the birds came, took it away, and it was trampled underfoot. That fell on the soil, stony ground, didn't have much soil, it was mainly rocks underneath. It sprung up real fast, but when trouble came, when the dry weather came, it withered away because it didn't have to get up to root. Then some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. But some fell among good soil and produced a hundredfold what was sown. Understand about that time, 30-fold was a normal harvest. So it did triple what was expected. And then Jesus explains what happened. Said the seed is the word of God. Now let's understand right now. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's good seed. Although there are people standing behind pulpits throughout our country, throughout the world, that try to say the seed is bad, and they don't use the whole word of God. Because they say, it's not good. People don't want to hear it. So I'm not going to use it. Nothing is wrong with the seed. And you don't need to change it for a different seed, although there are some that do. And the path, it says, that is where Satan comes and close the message that is heard away from people so they will not receive it and believe it. How does Satan do that? Well, he denies God's truth, saying things such as, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Of course, the people would echo that message and say, and I'm absolutely sure there's no such thing as absolute truth. Others try to keep you from hearing it. There was news I saw on the news channel this morning. One of the local school districts, there was a meeting at their board, and people were coming up and saying, don't evaluate the blue line curriculum. We don't even want you to look at it. Now, Conroe School District has approved the Bluebonnet curriculum. It's a curriculum for reading grades 1 through 4. And the problem is that the school district has, and there's even been a petition brought forth for Conroe not to use the Bluebonnet. The problem they have, it mentions Bible verses. We can't have people hear the truth. How do you understand so many parts of our culture that prefers the Bible if you've never been exposed to the Bible? It's not that they don't want to hear the Bible, they don't know how other people can hear it, but they won't believe it. There are people that have rejected God's word, and they don't want other people to hear it. There are also those that don't want the Ten Commandments posted. It used to be posted in all schools. But people said, we don't want people to hear that. You know, stuff like, do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, do not bear false witness. Honor your parents. Do not murder. You can't have kids murdering that. But instead, we face schools where people insult one another, attack teachers and other students, and then they revel in the mayhem by taking their cell phones out and filming other people getting beat up or harassing the school. Because they're thinking about themselves instead of other people. They deny creation. Satan even uses that trick to get into many churches. You can't believe the first 11 chapters in the Bible. But if you can't believe the beginning of the Bible, how can you believe the end of it or anything else? If God lied to you in one place, how could you trust him not lying somewhere else? But I'll tell you, God does not lie. Every word of God is true. Now, I will tell you there's some lies in the Bible. Those lies in the Bible are when the Word of God quotes people telling a lie. Like when they said, Jesus has a demon. That's exactly what they said. It was a lie, but it was the truth, not representation of what was said. God never tells us lies. He says, in 6 days, he created everything that exists. He didn't lie. He did it in 6 days. It doesn't matter how many people say it took millions of years. It's just they haven't caught up with science and life. The more scientists dig into the truth, the more they find that the Bible has always been right. But that's one way that Satan takes that seed away, because he doesn't want people to hear the truth and accept it. So he tells lies. In our passage, in our scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, we see one group that typifies this hard soil, this pathway seed. That's the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They saw the miracles of Jesus, they heard his teaching, and they plotted together to kill him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They rejected the message. That fell on stony soil heard the message. They sprung up with joy. But it said when the time of testing came, they fell away. Testing, one way that word is used is like when you take a precious metal and you heat it under fire to remove the impurities. Well, some people don't have the depth of faith because they don't know why they believe. They were told Jesus will make your life more comfortable. And they want to have a more comfortable life. They weren't told the truth. They didn't understand that we are sinners. And there is a debt our sin causes. And what we earn for our sin, because the wages of sin, is death. We face a death penalty again from God. But since we are sinners, we need to repent of our sins, and God offers us forgiveness. But they didn't understand that stony ground. They thought everything was going to be good in their life if they came to Jesus. Because they didn't understand what to do. They understood Jesus was the answer, but they didn't understand the question that he was the answer to. Then you have this seed that fell among thorns. And the seed grew up, and the thorns grew up at the same time. And the thorns choked out the good seed. And it said, those thorns are worry, riches, pleasures of life. If you look at chapter 18 of Luke, you see someone that fell along this category. Beginning in verse 18 of chapter 18 of Luke. A ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Okay. All these relate to God's commandments toward other people. I have kept all these from my youth, he said. When Jesus heard this, he told him, you still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very weak. Seeing that he became sad, Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? He chose his wealth, his money, over eternal life. Back in the stony ground, if you look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and begin in verse 26. People are following Jesus, and Jesus answers them, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And then he begins teaching them, but they should be seeking. Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts. because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. And then look at verse 66. Let us John 66. Verse 66. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer were coming with him. When Jesus began explaining the truth, that it was exclusive following him only, not just coming to Jesus for the food and the healing, but coming to him for eternal life, the forgiveness of their sin. The thorny ground was those that were worried about things. Their focus was on, how am I going to solve the problems in front of me? Instead of focusing on the one that can solve all. It's been said, and I've heard something say it. Okay. People spend a lot of time worrying about how to cross a river on the other side of the hill if the bridge is out. And they don't even know if there's a river or a bridge is out. They worry about things they don't know about. But what about tomorrow? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. And I'll give you everything you need from that. Riches. Jesus' word tells us not to let the word, the riches, lead us astray. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Do we need to be worried about money if God says he's not going to ever leave us? No. And the pleasures of life. Look at the next one, book, James. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasure. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. And then the good soil. The good soil we saw at the beginning of this chapter with men who were following Jesus and meeting their needs. And like the woman to the drink of his feet. We're going to see him from the other. Also, we see him where he sees the centurion, his faith. What he tells to do, back to our passage. Look at verse 15, chapter 8. But the seed and the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it by enduring the news of faith. Hold on to Jesus. What are you holding on to? Dear Lord, thank you for giving us a truth and an example of different ways people respond to it. Those that reject, those that don't truly understand and have no depth of understanding of what is going on. Those that let the worries, the cares, and all the distractions of the world choke out for them. And then those in the blue here, that's from the blue. And hold fast. And here. Let us hold fast. And let us hold fast. Just a few minutes.